I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All righty, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio here. And we're inside of our Rocket Mortgage studio. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket Mortgage helps you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Tiger Woods was chatting today. By the way, Tiger looks absolutely yoked.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, the shoulders, the neck, the biceps, he's looking pretty big.
All he could do is lift.
That's all he could do. He was also obviously dishing on his future. Tiki and I will get to that. We can't wait to talk about that next segment. Also, later on this hour, so that Seattle-Washington game was not anything really pretty, but Washington gets a win. They're suddenly somewhat hot. Heinicke's making some plays. I know they ran the ball last night pretty well. And, you know, the way Russ has looked and the way his offseason was a year ago, he didn't seem too thrilled with Seattle. Is this it? And if it is it also the end for Pete Carroll? So these are all things that Teek and I will get into. Right now, though, we're joined by somebody who's been with us a couple times here on the show, running back for the Colts. And Colts coming off a tough loss against the Bucs. But they had a lot of that game there, and they let one get away. I'm sure they feel that way. We could talk about that in the rest of the season with one of their running backs, as I said, Nyheim Hines, who's with us here on the show. Nyheim, Tiki and Tierney, how are you today, buddy? What's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm well. How are you guys?
We're great. We just want to make sure we have this right, because every time we hear Nyheim, how exactly do you say your name?
Hey, say it like I said, BT. What's your mama call you?
Yeah, exactly. What does mama call you?
My mom calls me Nyheim.
There we go.
My friends call me Nye, so it's Nyheim.
Nice. Well, we're friends. We'll call you Nye. We got Nye.
Call me Nye. Yeah, y'all are my guys.
I love it. Got Nas. We got Nye. We're good.
Nye.
Yeah. So BT mentioned that the Bucs game. I know it had to be frustrating because it felt like that one was in the bag for you guys. How do you recover from that? I mean, you're 6-6. You're still very much in the playoff conversation. There's not even a question that you guys are going to rebound from this. But how do you deal with a loss against the defending champions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in that fashion? Because it really felt like you had them on the ropes.
Yeah, it's tough. How we bounce back is how we always bounce back. Look, we're gonna look at it. We've lost some heartbreakers like that and bounce back the next week. And really just gotta focus on Houston this week. And we know that everything that we want is still in front of us. We just gotta go out there and win each game. And this week it's Houston, so that's how we bounce back. Go out there and work hard this week and get ready to play.
That's right, Nyheim. You guys have Houston, and then you have the bye week, which comes late, which is kind of awesome from a football standpoint because your body gets to heal up before you make that final push. But when you talk about rebounding and being, I don't know, just re-energized, who is that in your locker room? Is it Carson? Has he turned into that leader? I know he's only been there for a season. Obviously, last year was Phillip Rivers, but is he a leader right now for you guys?
Yeah, Carson's leading us well. He's setting the tone for us, making sure he's in charge of everything. And he's been leading us well, and he's been taking accountability with him, and he's also doing a great job of taking accountability of everybody else. So, he's being that leader, and all of us are doing a great job taking accountability, and we just got to focus. Just keep playing.
Yep, no doubt. It's a long season, even longer this year, that 17th game, so extra real estate to mess around with. I hear you. We're talking to Nyheim Hines, running back for the Colts, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You know, when the Titans were rolling early, this is before Derrick Henry got hurt, and you guys were, you know, scuffling to find your way a little bit, the separation in the standings was becoming pretty stark, and I'm like, boy, I know the Colts are a lot better than what we've seen early on, but they just might run out of the real estate that I just mentioned to maybe try to steal this division. And I know with baseball we talk a lot about, you know, scoreboard watching, pennant races. I don't know how different it is in football, but on game day, how much are you guys paying attention to what the Titans are doing? How does that work?
I guess I would say we don't really pay attention much. We're just fans. We know what's going on in all the games as we see them in the scoreboard. But everybody knows how it is. Like when you see like a team that we know that's the same record, like, you know, like, I don't know, like, you're the Steelers or Titans, we're hoping like somebody beats them. You know how it is. But like, we're not really paying attention that much. like, when I see a scoreboard, I'm like, oh, dang, look at the score. And I don't really think much of, like, what's going on or whatever. I'm just being a fan. That's how we all are. But we know who we know the teams we need to lose, though. We always do know that.
Yeah. No, I when I was playing Naeem, it was really only my brother's team. That's really all I cared about. It's like, what's Rondé doing up there?
Other than the scoreboards were a lot smaller back
that's
then,
right.
though.
That's right.
Now you can't miss them.
That's true. And I didn't care about anybody else.
You know, highlights and stuff. So it's kind of cool to get to see highlights of other things going around in the league.
But yeah.
We're just kind of fans. That's all it is.
That's right. Got so except 1 year, he had more touchdowns than me at the beginning of the season. I said, this ain't right for a DB. Naeem, you know, Jonathan Taylor comes into this team last year. He had a good season last year, but this year he's been explosive. He adjusted really quickly from the college game. We see this often. He looks dynamic. Tell us more about Jonathan Taylor in this run game. You guys have a good duo with you two in the backfield. But tell us about the second year pro out of Wisconsin. How's he been?
Yeah, man, we're both explosive. We make big plays at any time. And with him, I think I said that to everybody. He's going to make that next step. You know, he had to just adjust, figure out how to play, and the game's slowing down for him. And then after that, it's just like football, the game he's always loved when he's not worried about calls and all that. Now he's going out there being himself. And when Jonathan Taylor used to go out there and be himself, it looks like him at Wisconsin. He's been remarkable. It's been great watching him turn into the player he is. And he has a lot more to keep going. He's one of the hardest working guys I've ever seen. So he's going to keep being better. And I know that for sure.
Yeah, no, you can definitely see that. You know, you guys, you know, have a combo. I remember, you know, combos used to be the way of it. You know, two guys who could get it done. There's not a jealousy in that room, is there? Is there full collaboration?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're all cool. We're all working for we're all hoping for the best of each other. And I think we all admire each other's game. Like even with Marlon there, when Jordan Wilkins is there, when they get to go play, we get to see what they do and what their talents are. And that's how we look at it. When JT's out there, it's like, dang, like we all have such different, unique skill sets that we can all help each other. We all learn from each other a lot too. We're real close in there. Coach Montgomery's a great fit for us. So we're really brothers up in there. So there's no hate there. Just all love.
Yeah. Naeem, I mentioned before about the 17th game. You guys haven't even had your bye week yet. It's not coming up until week 14. So you're playing the Texans. And oh, listen, it's the NFL. Anybody could get clipped. I get that. But if you guys handle business, you should get back on the winning track, as Tiki said before. Then you get a bye week, and then the last quadrant of the season, and a couple of good teams are mixed in there. With the 17th game, knowing that the season's going longer, does it feel different? I mean, I know you're immersed in it now, so I don't know how different it feels, but does it feel different at all knowing that it's not going to end when it usually ends for you guys?
Yeah, it is strange even, like, playing, like, two games in January. It is a little bit strange, but I can honestly just say this publicly. Like, I'm not exactly sure what to expect at the end of the year. Like, even hearing the records is going to be weird for me now. Like, what are you going to be now, like 11-8?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here like 10-6, 9-7. So, like, this year is going to be real interesting. I don't even really know how it's going to turn out myself, because this is going to be a weird, just with the 17th game. I just know that we just got to keep playing hard. But I just know it's going to be a lot interesting with that 17th game.
There's no doubt. By the way, if you guys go 11-8, that means you won a couple of playoff games, man. So that's good.
You sign up. 11-8. Well, I don't know the new records, but.
No, I got you. Do you sense any almost preemptive moves by the coaches to keep your bodies fresher now, like any alterations to in-season stuff yet, or no?
Oh, no, we're just doing what we normally do, and Coach Reich is doing a great job taking care of our bodies, you know, walkthroughs here and there, and then when we go on the field, we practice hard, but we're just going to, I mean, Coach Reich and Coach Rusty Jones, they got a good schedule for us, and we're in tip-top shape. We're going to be ready to play football.
So that's Naeem Hines of the Colts, one of their really good running backs, of course. He does some sick flips when he finds the end zone. He's a high-flying acrobat. It's incredible. My back hurts watching him, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
All right, this week, Naeem, is my cleats, and to be timed with today, obviously Giving Tuesday, which has been something that's gone on for a lot of years here in this country. You're associated in supporting the Muscular Dystrophy Association, MDA. I used to do events for MDA here in New York, so I know how important this cause is. Why is this important to you, and tell us a little bit more about it?
The Muscular Dystrophy Association is important to me because, you know, I've had family members who have muscular dystrophy, my mother, my grandmother, and my uncle. And, you know, I have the platform now to, you know, help change multiple lives and a bunch of families. So I'm excited to do that, and today is Giving Tuesday. So it's just going to be a great time in the MDA community, and anybody can do it. We're streaming tonight on the MDA Twitch channel. And this is a great community to be a part of. But you can stream on Twitch and play games and computer games with people. It's awesome.
You know.
And lastly, for the
I'm sorry. No, Nahi, my bad. Keep going. I'm sorry about that.
What were you saying?
I didn't mean to. I thought you were done. Keep going. By all means, finish up, bud. You good?
Oh no! And then this is my cause, my cleats. You know, I have some pretty cool cleats. So it's for the Muscular Sleep Association. Got my family members on there.
Oh, that's cool.
With it on there.
You
That'd
know,
awesome.
What I would like you to do is what I was going to say before I stepped on you. We're talking to Nyheim Hines of the Colts here. When I was young, I grew up in New York, right? And you'd go into a pizza store and they'd have like, I don't even know how to describe this. It's so long ago. Like these almost hard cardboard plastic cutouts, right? And it would say something about muscular dystrophy. And they had these little slots to insert quarters.
Yes.
And my mom would always give my sister and I a quarter to put up there. And I was always pretty aware of MDA. But it's a disease that, quite frankly, is not spoken about. I feel like the last 15, 20 years, as much as it was when we were young.
That's right.
Can you, in you know, a fairly succinct manner, just describe the disease? I'm not sure if our entire audience knows people who are afflicted with this, what it does to their body.
I mean, so basically, it's just a disease that basically just breaks down your muscles, and you know, it depends on what type you have. But like my mom, like your muscles and your body just regresses, and really that's what happens. And you know, you go from, you know, being able to walk to struggling to walk to not being able to walk, and it just goes from there and having a hard time chewing and things. So it's definitely tough to see, and definitely something that a lot of people don't know about. And there's a lot of things with muscular dystrophy. There's several different types, more than like 30 types.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that you wouldn't even, like ALS is one of them.
Yep.
Lou Gehrig's disease is a form of muscular dystrophy. So there's a lot of things that people don't know about it. If you actually just took the time and went on MDA.org, you would learn a lot more. And there's probably somebody in your life who's affected by it.
Yeah. No, it is. And bringing that up, Nahim, I mean, your mom, your uncle, your grandmother, it sounds genetic. Do you have a marker? Have you had genetic tests to see if this will affect you at some point?
No, I haven't had any genetic tests yet, but it's something to think about for sure.
Yeah.
But, not now.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah. No, you're healthy. You're strong. You're athletic as hell, as BT was talking about, doing backflips. And look, we appreciate you joining us. We'll send this information out. My cause, my cleats. I got to check out your cleats this weekend against Houston. But certainly, you know, continued success and great effort with this MDA organization that you've been working with. And obviously, it's personal to your heart. So appreciate you, Nahim, and good luck for the rest of the season. We hope to talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you guys real soon.
No doubt, man. Buddy. There he is. Nahim Hines, happy holiday to you. Good stuff. Yeah, those cleats are pretty awesome, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know,
I love that they do that.
I do, too.
I don't like it every week.
No.
Like, where they're just doing crazy stuff every week. Mm-hmm. But for a cause that's meaningful, and I mean, clearly for Nahim, it's personal.
Oh, yeah. Most of them are.
Yeah.
Most of them are.
But this one is, like, really personal.
Yeah, really
personal.
That's true.
It's like his mom.
Yeah.
It's
personal than mom.
Exactly. Grandmother and uncle. So, that's great. I love stories like that where they, you know, they mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he's having a lot of success in his early part of his career. Third down back to Jonathan Taylor, but he can get in there and run it just as good as anybody.
And he's also had 60-something receptions, too, of the
that's
last
right.
3 years. His target's a little down this year, but no, Nahim Hines is a player.
Right.
Jonathan Taylor's not there.
That's right.
He's their guy.
It's necessary in today's NFL to have two guys.
Yep.
You just can't run guys into the ground. Christian McCaffrey, like the Carolina Panthers, and expect to have success for an extended amount of time. It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So to have two guys is meaningful. The interesting thing is, and he mentioned Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack was on track to be one of those like really successful players
in the
league. Liked him early.
We had him on before he got drafted.
That's right.
Where was he, Akron or Toledo? Where did Marlon Mack play? I think it was one of those Mack schools, right?
I want to say UCF, right?
Oh, maybe I'm off on that.
USF. He was at USF.
USF?
Because he was the starter in front of D'Ernest Johnson.
That's right.
D'Ernest Johnson, who's at...
Wires Cross TV.
Yeah, exactly.
A mine.
Who's at Cleveland. D'Ernest Johnson didn't get any run because Marlon Mack was there in front of him.
He was
but my point is, Marlon Mack was like the man.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's just not enough room on this team because they have two good backs in Nahim and obviously Jonathan Taylor, who's leading the league in rushing right now.
All right, let's get to this coming up next. Tiger Woods spoke. We'll tell you what he really said. Mm. We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, this portion of the show, Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com, order the perfect gift package for $99.99 by entering Rome in the search bar. Perfectly aged, tender, and 100% guaranteed. That's omahasteak.com, and use search word Rome. I think if you use search word Tiki and Tierney, they might throw you a little piece of parsley. maybe I'm not even sure if you're gonna get that, but I know you get the nice $99.99 deal if you throw Rome in the search bar. All kidding aside, Omaha Steaks, pretty good stuff. I've used them in the past. We had a little run with them for a while. Father's Day, remember that years ago we were doing that stuff?
That's right.
It was good. So give it a shot. Holidays are around. Good stuff. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. TV is back, right? I'm getting the heads up in about 30 seconds. Okay, TV will join us. So Tiger Woods.
Tiger who?
Tiger Woods. Tiger Woo. Listen, let's not kid ourselves here. The moment that Tiger Woods put the 9-second video clip of him hitting what looked to be about a 7 or an 8 iron.
Mm-hmm. Easy, controlled, not like trying to rip it. Just
nope.
Nice and easy.
Nope. Swing. Nope. Nice, controlled, good posture. That black sleeve on his right leg, which was mangled and completely dented, for lack of a better word, obviously, and where we thought you might lose certainly his life, if not a limb. I mean, Tiger Woods today seemed in pretty good spirits, seemed in pretty good health, seemed very aware of his new golfing reality.
And his limitations.
And his limitations, which is part of his new golfing reality. When you bring up Byron Nelson, you bring up Byron Nelson for a reason. There is no way. There is no way, unless something, God forbid, goes wrong from here on out, that Tiger Woods will not be on a tee box somewhere feeling the adulation from fans. Now, how he plays, different story.
Yeah.
He will take that Nike cap, and he will stick a little tee in the ground, and he will hit a golf ball in front of a TV camera and thousands of people again.
It is his mission, and Tiger Woods, when he sets on out on missions, he usually accomplishes them, and he's not going to be full-time.
Mm-hmm.
We heard this as well, and that would probably be an impossibility. But just like Ben Hogan, who was a part-timer.
Did I say Byron Nelson?
Yeah.
Obviously, Ben Hogan with the car crash.
Yep.
I may have mistakenly said Byron Nelson. Good catch.
Yeah, he will do when he can.
Uh-huh.
And we'll love it. He might not ever win again, but just to see him out there.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, that whole conversation about catching Arnie and, you know, how many major, like, it matters, obviously, but so much less so now.
Yep. Well, he had his moment at Augusta a couple of years ago.
Yes.
He needed that. He spoke about that again today. He's spoken about that in the past when his son Charlie ran out on the green. And
I didn't think it would ever. We talked about it many times over the years. I was on the record. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, I had more faith than you did.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it was unwavering faith, but I had faith that maybe he can will himself at an event, like at a track that he knows well, like Augusta.
What about now?
Well, this is where it's a little different. You know, to bring back the Ben Hogan stuff, right? When Ben Hogan had that car accident and half of his body collapsed, I mean, it was crushed by a truck got hit. What year was that? 1946? What was the year when Ben Hogan got in the accident? For some reason, 1946 is jumping around my head, but what was it, 1949? Thanks, Mike. 1949. You have to think, and I know Tiger's got a, he's a checkpoint person.
Yeah.
He is somebody who pursues benchmarks, and that is his fuel. Whether it's realistic to us, whatever, or even him, that's how he gets to where he's gotten in his whole life, going back to his dad. Going back to the note he affixed to his wall with Jack's records.
Great
where he
point.
Wanted, you know what I mean? So whether or not I want to throw an ounce of reality on the Ben Hogan stuff. I do believe Tiger's going to play again. The big difference with Hogan, when Hogan got back out there, the rest of the tour was not like it is now.
That's right.
I mean, first of all, there were no Europeans.
Yeah.
It was all Americans. You had maybe a couple of guys coming from across the pond here and there. That's it. Maybe partake in the U.S. Open, but it was U.S. It was American dominated. Now it's South Africa. It's Asia. It's Australia. It's everywhere.
Lots of Europe, obviously. Oh, and those guys are young and powerful. And
Yep. So it's a different field. So I don't doubt that Tiger Woods is going to play again. And he'll probably even regain a little magic around the greens. The soft hands won't disappear. Will he be able to fly a golf ball, you know, in cold, dank weather? I'm not even going to say 310, 295. I don't know. Yeah. I honestly don't know if he'll be able to do that. And it doesn't matter. Because when we first learned that he, thank God, wasn't going to die in the car crash, I remember saying on this show, you know, shame on us for being so greedy over the years. Like we just wanted, we expected so much from Tiger. Just give us one more viewing pleasure. You know, give us four more hours on a Sunday to sit there entranced in your golfing wisdom and prowess. Give us one more thing to, hey, we got to stop asking for this poor guy to supply us with all these athletic snapshots. Like, let the guy live his life. And I think that for the first time in a long time that Tiger Woods is now okay with being that guy who just shows up here and there, does this with the cap, and if he doesn't win, he doesn't win.
Yeah.
No, I really believe that he's okay with that.
I think you're right. Now, Ben Hogan,
he knows he almost died.
He came back, and Ben Hogan almost died as well. I'm looking at the pictures of his car crash. It's just horrendous.
I mean, by a truck, a Mack truck.
Mack truck just smashed into the
in Texas?
Left, El Paso. Yeah,
it was in Texas. I thought so. He's coming back from an event.
Yep. Out's just the left passenger, or actually his driver's side, just got crushed and collapsed.
Yeah.
Maybe cars were built sturdier.
Well, they were
then,
bigger and boxier, yeah, but there was no airbags.
They didn't have the internal, like the non-collapsible cage or the airbags.
Seatbelt? You didn't have a seatbelt in 1949?
I mean,
I don't think so.
Probably not. If it was, it was just a lap belt. It wasn't anything significant.
Yeah.
But he survived it, and he came back, BT, and he won a couple. He won a Masters.
He won.
And, you know, you look at Tiger's vehicle, and I'm looking at his picture as well, which is flipped over, it's on its side, it's down a ravine. It's obviously it's an SUV, so there's more, safety inside of a big truck like that.
Yes.
But I think the way that he was injured, his left leg, right? His right leg, which is his driving leg, right? That's the one you lean on.
Yeah, if the heel turns up, you get
one,
that power.
That's
boom.
The one you're seeing your hip movement happen on.
Yep.
You just worry that he'll never have power again. And one of the parts of his game that made him so great was just he could just outdrive you.
But he hasn't been doing that for the last 10 years. He hasn't been outdriving people like that.
You're right. So it's a blessing that he's back on the course.
Yep.
He's just playing. He's happy. If he never wins again, who cares? Right? But if he's gonna win, it's gonna have to get that finesse game that we sometimes see. It betrayed him.
Yes.
Often.
That's true. But he had the yips for a couple of years, no doubt.
Remember the chunk
2015,
remember the 20... chunk shot?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I could do that.
And the one that rolled back, and the one that fired over the green.
Yes.
No, we do that.
Yes.
Could do that. That's what we do.
Regularly. So he's going to have to.
He was a mess for a while.
He was.
That.
But if he fixes that and maybe he becomes a better finesse golfer.
I think he's fixed that, though.
Yeah.
See, the only problem now to get that aspect, and you can practice this, but will he be able to, even though it's not flush shots, you know, four irons and full tilt and, you know, ball speed of 180 miles per hour or whatever he's pursuing, if Bryson's a 200, I'm going to guess roundabout, Tiger's about a 180. I don't know if his leg will allow him to stand and to hit 300 balls softly. Not that it'll hurt, but, like, you're going to have to practice to be that to have that finesse game that is always there.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
You're going to have to practice. And to practice, you've got to stand.
Yeah.
And, you know, his leg, I watched him when he actually got up from the dais at the press conference. He looked a little wobbly.
Yeah.
You know, he looked a little creaky.
Well, limp. Well, walking in, he was limping. I don't know if that's a permanent or forever limp, but he was limping walking in. So, I mean, walking around is not going to be as easy.
And that's the thing. Yeah. You walk around, we just take it for, because he looks like Zeus.
Yes.
But you got to walk Thursday. You got to walk Friday. You got to walk Saturday. You got to walk Sunday. And these aren't benign courses with a slope rating of 119. These are slopes with, you know, 139, 144, 7,900 yards, 7,800 yards. I'll tell you this, though. You know, when you go through something like that, and I've told my partner this, I don't talk about it much, obviously, but I have said it on the air, otherwise I wouldn't bring it up again. Mm-hmm. But the night before I was supposed to go away to college, I got into a car accident.
Yep.
You know the story.
Yep, I know the story.
I wasn't driving at 108 miles an hour. And when I saw what that car looked, we had to go for insurance purposes, mm-hmm. police, we had to look at it the next day. It was smashing like an accordion, dude. And if you're familiar with, like, the Bell Parkway in Brooklyn, we were right underneath the Verrazano Bridge. We were going eastbound, 3-lane highway, 5 in the morning. We wound up westbound, flipped upside down.
Wow.
Okay. When you go, now I was only 18 years old, but even at that age, I just turned 18. It was not lost on me how lucky I was to forget about, but to play college baseball again. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't play that year, but to even just get out of the car, right? When that happens to you, I can only deduce, and God willing, this never happens to me ever again, or anybody out there, certainly you and my family and everybody I care about and people I don't know for sure. But when that happens to you in your 40s and you have kids, winning a golf tournament is incredibly secondary.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of people out there, I tell you that story because I think there's a lot, not a lot, but I think there's some people who listen to Tiger Woods today and they can't wrap their brains around Tiger Woods saying that winning is not as important as it used to be.
Yeah.
When you crawl out of a car, and I mean barely crawl out of a car, your perspective changes.
Yeah.
I fully believe him.
Yeah.
I think he's at peace.
Let's listen to Tiger Woods.
I know that after my back fusion, I had to prove it to myself. I had to climb Mount Everest one more time. I had to do it. And I did it. This time around, I don't think I will have the body to climb Mount Everest. And that's okay. But I can't participate in the game of golf. I can still maybe, if my leg gets good enough, maybe click off a tournament here or there. But as far as climbing the mountain, get all the way to the top, I don't think that's a realistic expectation of me. But I think something that is realistic is playing the tour one day, never full-time ever again. Pick and choose, just like what Mr. Hogan did. Pick and choose a few events a year, and you play around that. You practice around it and try to gear yourself up for that, and you play it. I think that's kind of how I'm going to have to play it from now on. It's an unfortunate reality, but it's my reality. I understand it and I accept it. Just hopefully I can have it time up at the right terms.
There you go. That was on. That was via Golf Digest there. That is a good look into what I believe is a real accurate depiction of what's in his heart and his soul.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think those are hollow words. I think he's cool with it.
You're right. And he's fine. I mean, he's made so much money in his career and his life. He will continue to make money. Just being Tiger.
Building courses,
finding a new profession, helping his son. Because that's actually where we first saw him.
He's got a good little game now, young guy.
Yeah, that's right. We saw him with his son
on the course.
Uh-huh. He was chipping when Charlie was, I guess, I don't know what Charlie was doing, but we saw Tiger. And he's rebuilding his legacy with his kid, which is awesome.
It's going to be a moment when he gets back on that tee box. I don't know what it will be comparable to, because think about, you know, what it's going to be to me. For whatever reason, I can't help but weave Kobe Bryant into this in my mind. Like, you know, the diminished athletic achievements that we now should all have, mm-hmm. for Tiger Woods, the expectations, right? Just imagine if we were able to say once more to Kobe, mm-hmm. like if Kobe emerged from the helicopter, you know, and everybody else that he was with, by the way, and we were able to let him know, man, that unbelievable memories, awesome, you know, and he was retired, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
But like, I just think that this, I don't, like, what is it, Lou Gehrig's speech? I don't know what's even comparable to Tiger Woods playing in a sanctioned PGA event, whether he shoots an 82 or 62, irrelevant, when he first hears that searing adulation that the entire golfing public and sporting world will be desperate to bestow upon him.
Right.
That is going to be as special a sound as I've ever heard in my life pertaining to sports. I don't know what else could be more special than that.
No, you're right.
Lou Gehrig was dying. Well, you know, he was a shell, and he died shortly thereafter. And when he spoke to at Yankee Stadium, but he was a diminished figure. He was withering away, and it's just I don't know. I don't know that there's anything comparable.
No,
because when else was somebody that close to death that got back and played?
That's also,
that we love that much.
I was going to say that's also that known, appreciated, loved, and just had this public life.
Yeah.
Really, his whole life
has
been public. We've watched it from start to finish through really all the ups and downs. I mean, it's kind of one of the greatest reality TV shows we've ever watched, to be perfectly honest with you.
It's been crazy, and I'm sure there's a lot of stuff we don't know.
I'm telling you, but we've seen so much of it, the good and bad. It really does. Like, when I think, it's like been a reality show, because we saw him when he was 8 years old.
No, we saw him when he was 3 years old. Not the Johnny Carson show. What was that?
Where he was with his dad.
He was striping the ball. I haven't striped when I was 23. He was striping the ball
down.
Mike Dudley's show.
Yeah, Mike Dudley.
The little guy, he's 3 years old. Exactly. He waddles out there. Think about the stones on this kid. He's puring balls on national TV. And I have a cart behind me. I get nervous. I'm like, what if I shank one in the woods?
And now here he is at 46, recovered from a horrific car crash, helping the son.
It's full circle. It's coming.
Kind of great story.
Good for Tiger. That was great to hear. That is definitely a positive thing today. He's coming back to play. All right, coming up, we'll get the update for Mac after that. It seems like it's time for the Russell Wilson era in Seattle to end. Is it also time for the Pete Carroll era to end? Teek and I will get to that next after Rack right now. Here's Rich.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, take it here to hear CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network with us as well. Yes, tennis is over, so the tube is back. All right, time now for the Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD, veterans, and their families. They're members of the mission. Learn more, NavyFederal.org. All right, Broncos, they beat the Chargers 28-13 on Sunday. Rookie corner Patrick Surtain, the second, picked off Justin Herbert twice, including a 70-yard pick six to the house on the season. Surtain has three interceptions and 11 passes defended, so obviously paying dividends with as a top pick there has been great. Speaking of the Navy Federal Credit Union, that's one half of it. You and I will be doing a little broadcast from the Intrepid
that's
coming
right
up, not this Friday, but the following Friday for Army-Navy. Last couple of years has been down in Philly, so we've been going down there.
Yep.
And that's been a great setup. They treat us incredibly well for the Army-Navy game. But the game is at MetLife with the Jets and the Giants play. But we're doing the show from the Intrepid.
That'll be great.
Which is awesome.
That'll be cool.
Right on the Hudson.
Yeah, I haven't been over there in a while to the Intrepid. It's just a cool, like, living kind of museum.
It really is.
So I love it, and I can't wait to go back over there next weekend. TV will be with us, which will make it available to all of our audience to see, which will be fun.
I'm sure we'll get Mr. Staubach, who usually stops by, Mike, Roger Staubach, Kirk Herbstreit, ESPN, cut him loose for a day to come talk with us, right? Anyway, we'll bring a good show for you, right? Herbie? Santa's shrugging his shoulders. Yeah. What an answer from a producer.
Yeah. I think
producer,
so.
Is he going to be?
If he's there.
Ask, what do you want from me? Why are you asking me? Because you're the producer. Why wouldn't I ask you?
You can ask me. I'm shrugging my shoulders because I don't have a yes or no answer for you.
Okay. Do you think he might be on the show?
It's possible.
Have we reached out to him yet?
USAA and Army Navy, they help coordinate all that, and that has not yet happened. So
interesting.
My answer for you is, we'll see.
A shrug of the shoulders, which now makes a little sense. He didn't know. All right.
Does he call the games? He doesn't call that game.
No, he doesn't call the games.
He's just there. Like,
why
is he always?
That's a good question.
I don't know why.
College Game Day's there, first of all.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, they bring the whole crew out.
Oh, that's why. That's why. Because he also calls games, too, Herbie. So.
Yeah.
But he doesn't call that game.
I like Herbie.
Yeah, I do, too.
Corso's still going strong, too. Still messing around, Lee Corso.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's on CBS this year.
It's always on CBS. It's a huge property. Yeah. Lee Corso last week put the Buckeye head on.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody started going nuts. Mm. I love Lee. Anyway, that'll be fun. So we'll hopefully, Herbie's been here the last couple of years. I would imagine we'll get him again. Now, the Seattle Seahawks, let's go from that to the NFL. They've got some really hard decisions to make.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't think so.
I was going to say only if they overthink it.
Yes.
Because if they process this the way this should be processed, a 3-8 team that's going nowhere, that suddenly they went, what was it, 5 straight drives that were 3 and outs last night?
It was so ugly.
5!
Like, this game was hard to watch. Like,
it was rough.
This felt like, we've said this before this season about some of these standalone games.
Yeah.
This one felt like a job trying to watch this game. Russell Wilson is, as good as he is, there's just not any, I don't want to say talent because that's insulting to some of
that's
the really
not true.
Great talent.
He's got 2 good wide
that's
receivers.
Right. But it feels like it's not utilized well. Unless he's throwing deep balls down the field to, Tyler or
Metcalf.
It just feels like, where's this offense? Like,
I don't know.
They don't run the ball at all.
Nope.
They're bottom of the league in rushing. I don't know where he is sacked-wise relative to the rest of the league, and it'll be skewed because he obviously missed the month.
Yep.
But, I mean,
he's always among the league leaders.
He's always among the league
48.
Leaders.
Yep.
There's no energy on this team.
None.
And I know that, Jamal Adams finally held on to an interception.
Because it came right to his bread bag. It ricocheted into his head.
It was a tip drill that was, 15 feet in the air. I just had to stand under it and catch
it.
But their defense doesn't even look dominating. He had a couple of good hits, a couple of good sticks. But, I mean, it felt like Washington was doing whatever they wanted. And Washington's in and up. They get into the red zone and they can't score. They try to kick an extra point. The kicker, Darius Slay, pulls his hamstring, and then they got to go for 2 for the rest of the game.
They went for it on fourth down a couple of times.
They had to.
Forget about just for the 2.
Yes.
They also went for it on fourth down. And by the way, you said it was like a job watching this game. Can I tell you what I watched a little bit during this game?
What's that?
The Sopranos. Because I'm actually rewatching The Sopranos, and there was no basketball that I had to really watch. This game was so
boring.
Lots
of basketball tonight.
Oh, I'm locked in. By the way, this guy's a Nets fan officially, he told me today.
Nets, Knicks, Suns, and
Golden
Warriors.
State Warriors, both teams playing great.
Good basketball tonight.
Great basketball night. Last night was different.
Yes.
Last night we just had that slop. That's really all you had. And I was so bored by the game that I'm like, because I started rewatching The Sopranos, so I'm up to season 4, which happens to be a great series, a great season, in my opinion, one of the better ones. And I'm like, episode 5, and I had started, and I can't watch it when the kids are around, even if they're upstairs, like the language and the scenes, I can't risk it. So they were in bed. I'm like, I was going to watch the remaining 20 minutes that I started watching the previous day or a couple days before. I'm like, I can't watch this game anymore. It was a muck fest. It was gross. Now, We started the segment by saying, if Seattle overthinks this, then it's a tricky situation. If they address this for what it is, a complete and utter rebuild,
yep,
an offensive line that stinks, a quarterback who does no longer desires to be there, no assets. But listen, at least they've got the fourth overall pick coming up right now based on Tankathon. No, they don't. That's going to the Jets in the Jamal Adams trade. So, and even the monies are skewed because of what they gave Jamal Adams. They need to. First of all, Russell Wilson is a goner. Yep. There's no chance he's back next year.
That's right.
And he's going to make the decision for him. I think the only decision that they've got to make, what do they do with Pete Carroll?
That's a hard one.
And I ask you
that's,
first.
That's a hard
what
one.
What do you do?
I have such reverence for Pete Carroll because of how good he's been. And he's been there for a long time, right? And
what was his first year?
First year with the Seattle was 2010.
Okay.
So he was in with New York, obviously, for a season. Mm-hmm. Went 6-10, and then he was with the Patriots for 3 seasons. Then he went back to college for a decade, and did obviously he was great in college.
And by the way, isn't it amazing? All the stops on his resume. The only place he didn't do well was with the Jets.
That's right.
Think about that. That's USC.
Right. But he was only there.
He
was only there for a year.
Wins a championship.
Do you know why
he was only there for a year? Because they lost their last 5 games
That's
in a row.
Right.
That's 1994, the fake spike with Dan Marino.
That's right.
When Aaron Glenn bit
That's
on the
right.
fake spike. Boomer was the quarterback.
That's right.
Our boy Boomer was QB.
Yeah, had a winning record in New England, though. 10-6, 9-7, 8-8.
Then he goes to the Jets.
Then he goes to college, and then he comes back to the NFL. A couple of sub-500 seasons, and then Russell Wilson in 2012, and then it just changed the scenario, right? At 61 mm-hmm. years old, you know, he wins a Super Bowl in 2013. He's 62. And it just consistently been good. Double-digit wins for, you know, 3 of the next 5 seasons.
Yep.
Actually, 5 of the next 6 seasons. 1-9-7, and double-digit wins up until this year. Right? He's just, like, he's been so good. But he's 70 years old. And next year, he's going to be 71. I'm not saying the game has passed him by because he's got so much energy,
mm-hmm.
right? He projects as so much younger than he is.
Yeah.
And, like, he carries – he's always got a smile on his face.
Yeah, he's very exuberant.
He just looks the part. But I think it's – it feels like it's time.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because his methodology of winning, which is let's just grind it out. Let's find a stout runner. For a long time, it was Marshawn Lynch. They tried to do it with Chris Carson this year, but he's been hurt every year. So they haven't found that next Marshawn. And why do you need that next Marshawn? Because Russ is elite when there's a Marshawn there, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he's top of the top. He's elite anyways, but when there's a great run game, it's fantastic. Russell Wilson wants to, you know, throw the ball 60 times a game. Carroll wants to, you know, stay back in the 90s, you know, the run the ball, play great defense, and they just don't have it. And so there's going to be a strip down. They have to do it,
mm-hmm.
right? And you might as well do it from top to bottom.
Yeah, the only thing I'm debating is whether or not it's a one or a two-part strip down.
Yeah.
One of those parts is gone. Russell Wilson's going to be on a different team next year. You can take that to the bank. Russell Wilson's gone. The only thing that I think that they really need to decipher, determine, it's not going to be easy, because I think Pete probably wants to stay, unlike Russ, who's going to want out if he doesn't already want. He wanted out last year. He's going to want to stay when they're 3-8. They're going to probably win one more game the rest of the year. They stink. So Russ will be gone, and with Pete, it's going to be tough, due to the lack of assets, the draft equity, a new quarterback, complete overhaul, I just think it's the best time to rip off the Band-Aid. It's going to hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
That scab is still going to be there. It's not going to be smooth. There's no guarantee you hire the right successor. I mean, you're getting away from somebody who's been great, who's carved out an NFL Hall of Fame career.
No doubt.
And the next move can be Ray Hanley, like the Giants after Parcells or Reeves. You don't know what's coming, but I think it's time to find out. I really do.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
because it's an opportune time to do it. Like, there won't be – this team is still relatively young, right?
On defense,
there's a lot of young –
Bobby Wagner's been around a little bit now.
Bobby's – he's only 31. It feels like he's been around for a long time. And probably he's not that 31. Same guy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But Jamal Adams is only 26. Mm-hmm. Quadri Diggs is only 28. DJ Reed, who actually made some good plays last night.
Yeah.
Got into that head-to-head with Antonio Gibson on the sideline.
It was,
but they both just kind of stood up. It was kind of – he challenged him, right? Mm-hmm. He's got a cornerback who's willing to challenge him. He's only 25. Sidney Jones, the other quarterback, he's only 20. So they're actually young. And so there's hope for the future that defensively maybe they get okay. Like they get good.
Mm-hmm.
But is Pete Carroll the one to lead them there? That's what I don't know. And so while there is some hope, like there's some glimmers of this guy could be pretty good, this guy could be pretty good, they're not winning anytime soon.
And that division's not going to deteriorate anytime soon.
That's right. They play San Francisco. Maybe it's next week they play San Francisco. No, they play San Francisco.
I think it's this week.
It's this week. It's a Sunday night game.
Okay.
So Sunday night against San Francisco. You know, it's at home, so they have a home field advantage. But I can't imagine the 12th man out of CenturyLink is going to be excited for welcome a 3-8 team.
That doesn't seem as raucous as it once was.
You're right. I mean, because the cheer is not there, right? The success isn't there. So it feels like it's headed towards a rebuild, but it's just hard because Pete Carroll has so much cachet.
He does. He does. Where's Russell Wilson playing next year? Give me a quick answer.
New York.
I think the Giants are going to make a strong move for him. I do, and I think they should. And you could probably trade Daniel Jones, like the Jets traded Darnold, maybe even get more for Jones than the Jets got for Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
I think the time is right. I think the Giants should make a full court press for Russ. Third hour coming up. College football coaching carousel. Nutty. Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.